I'm going to begin a brand new series this morning. I'm going to call it The Spirit of Faith. The Spirit of Faith. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about the Spirit of Faith. You know, he faced a lot of tribulation. He faced a lot of trouble. He faced a lot of persecution. He would never have made it in life without the Spirit of Faith. Some of the things that Paul said are found, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just beginning in verse 8. It says, we are troubled on every side. Anybody ever been there? Well, thank God. That immediately causes me to think, trouble on every side, but the Lord's on our side. Amen? Amen? Thank God for that. He said, we're troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not suffering from anxiety over this trouble that has come my way. I refuse to have sorrow. I refuse to have pain. Oh, yes, it hurts. But I'm not going to allow myself to go into a big area of worry and distress. So he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I looked that word despair up last week, and the word despair means to be left wanting. So Paul was saying, you know what? There are things that are going on in my life that I don't really understand, but I refuse to get in despair. In other words, I'm not left wanting, because he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And when we know that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Amen? So a person with despair has no hope. That's not Paul. Paul penned these words, now the God of hope fill you with all joy in faith and in believing that we would abound and bubble over with the God kind of hope. Amen? Amen. So thank God, even though despair may be knocking at your door, we do not have to look at our future with eyes of fear. We can look at our future with eyes of faith, eyes of confidence, and eyes of hope. Amen. Amen. So he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Aren't you glad that the Lord told you that he would never, ever leave you? And he would never, ever forsake you. You are not forsaken. And you are not forgotten. You are on his mind all the time. Since we are on his mind, what do you say? We get him on our mind. And when we get him on our mind, we'll remember, thank God, he'll never leave me. He will never forsake me. Amen. He said, we're persecuted persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The Passion says this, we're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. Amen. Amen. You may have experienced some knockdowns in your life. But you need to be like that inflatable punching thing that once it goes down, it just keeps coming up. Amen? I like what one person said. He said, I'm either up or on my way up. Amen? I'm either up or I'm on my way up. Now notice what the Living Bible says. He says, we're pressed on every side by troubles. But we're not crushed. We're not broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. Amen. We don't give up. We get up. Amen. And that's a word for somebody today. I wrote it twice in my notes. Get up. Get on up. Get up. Amen. So we don't quit. Amen. We don't give up. Verse 9 says, we are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we just get up again and we keep going. Woo, glory to God. Get on up. Get on up. Get on up now. Get on up. Hey, get on up. Why don't you get on up? Ha ha, glory to God. Some of you remember that from Motown. I know Jimmy does. Praise the Lord, we're getting up. We're getting up. And what the enemy gloats over is when a person gets knocked down and stays down. Get up. Get up. In Micah chapters, I think it's chapter 7 and verse 8, notice this. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. But when I fall, whoo-hoo, glory to God. When I fall, I shall arise. When I fall, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get on up. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, we shall arise. Woo, glory to God. Lift your hand up toward heaven and say, thank God. I'm getting up. So don't rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, in other words, when darkness tries to envelop me, when darkness tries to overtake me, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. Well, so what does that mean? That means we should never turn the praise off. If you're going to get up, you need to let the praises of God rise up. Your attitude should be, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. In good times, in bad times, and in between times. I am going to bless the Lord up in here, and I'm going to get up. That's what David did. See, we need to learn to declare David's declaration. And I'm going to read it to you very quickly, but it's in Psalms 27 in verse 1 and verse 6. The Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He is my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. They were the ones that went down. Though an host encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. The war would rise against me. In this I will be confident. What are you confident in, David? What are you confident in, Heart of the Bay? One thing have I desired of the Lord. And that is what I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And as David did that, and as you do that, notice with me the next verse. For in the time of trouble. For in the time of trouble, what is he going to do? He's going to hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And he's going to set my feet upon a rock. And when you've got your feet set upon a rock, glory to God, you're not going to go down. You're going to stay strong. Woo, glory to God. But this next verse, are you ready? Here's the result. And now, not tomorrow, not a month from now, not when everything straightens up, not when the wind stops, not when the waves are not happening, but right now, right now, right now, right now. Right now, my head shall be lifted up. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies. all around me. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer in this tabernacle, in this temple, sacrifice of joy. I'm going to sing, and I will sing praises unto the Lord. Woo, let's take about 10 seconds and just lift our hands. Glory to God. Oh, we worship you. Glory to God. Woo, I like it. I like it. I love it. And you should love it too. And now, shall your head be lifted up above all of your enemies. Lifted up above despair. It lifted up above the fear of man. Lifted up above the fear of sickness and disease. Lifted up above the fear of financial famine. Right now, shall my head be lifted up? Almost hurt my jaw when I did that. Right now. Right now. And the other word that came to me as I was preparing for this message is not only get up and get up, but the next thing that came to me was heads up. Get up, heads up. In the last days, our heads must be up. In other words, not looking down on what's going on down here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But you see, our heads then are lifted up above our enemies. What this has to do with is what we think on. This has to do with what are we looking at? This has to do with what is our focus? What is our attention? Now my head, now my thinking, my thought life, my focus, and my attention is being lifted up. That's where you've been raised, friends. You have been raised up. Look at your neighbor and say, heads up, heads up, heads up. But you see, our heads now are lifted up above our enemies with our focus and attention on Jesus. On Jesus. The head of the church. And the next verse that came to me was Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, did he not endure the cross? He despised the shame. But now he's set at the right hand of the throne of God. Just that first phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In the Amplified, it says this, looking away. Satan is the master of distraction. But notice with me, he says, looking away from anything and everything that would distract us. The only way that we can do that is if we look to him. Not just Sunday morning. Not just in the Wednesday PM service. But I'm talking about in your midnight hour. I'm talking about Monday morning and Friday afternoon. Look away. Now, here this comes to me, and that is this. In order for us to look away, there are certain things that we must put away. Now that'll preach right there. Put off the old man. Put off your devices. Put off the television. Now I'm not talking about eternally, but I'm talking about these things can be a major distraction to our soul. Come on, have anybody ever been there? I mean, it's distracting some of you right now. So, in other words, if I'm going to look away from everything that will distract, I've got to remove and put off some of the things that are distracting me. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Your strength. Your healer. Your light. Your salvation. Your righteousness. Your wisdom. Your financier. Your peace giver. Looking unto Him. Oh, glory to God. Notice verse 3. For consider him. Consider him. The word consider there means to think about. To ponder. For consider Jesus. That he endured such great contradiction, did he not? Of sinners against himself. Notice this. Unless you be wearied and faint in your minds. It's easy to become weary and faint in our minds when we stop considering Him. When we stop looking unto Him, oftentimes hopelessness, weariness, weakness, and we become faint. But oh, thank God, to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. And those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I just came by to tell you today that God loves you. And He's for you, and He's on your side. And He wants you to think about, He wants you to ponder what He has done for you. Consider that Jesus, He went all the way from the cross to the throne. He went all the way from Calvary to the grave into hell itself. Rose from the dead. Ascended unto the Father, and is seated on the throne of God next to the Father. Woo! Glory to God! Consider that for a minute. Consider this, that your victory has been bought and paid for. I'd like to preach that right now. Your victory has been bought and paid for. Since He went all the way, you can go all the way as well. Amen. 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 Remember we sang that song, He is the Waymaker? Yes. Glory to God. He went and He paid the price for you and I. So what does this mean? This means because He bought and wrought the victory for us, we can receive and reap what He has done. And that, my friend, will keep you up. That, my friend, will keep your head up. Did you know this? That it's our due season to reap. It's our due season to reap. And we don't have to struggle to try to reap. All we've got to do is just live for Him. And sow good seeds. Amen. Whatever that seed is, a seed of kindness, a seed of finances, a seed of service, a seed of health, you just be a sower of good seeds. And you will position yourself not only to be a receiver, but also a reaper. Is anybody here this morning interested in being a reaper? Amen. Galatians says, you will reap if you faint not. Amen.
Amen.
I declare over your lives, it's your due season to reap.
Amen.
It's your due season to reap. Amen? Amen. Now let's go back to our text. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. He said, we're troubled on every side. We're not distressed. We're not perplexed. We're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but thank God we're not forsaken. We may have been cast down, but thank God we are not destroyed. So Paul went through a lot of things. But now notice in verse 13, which is really the text for the spirit of faith. In verse 13, I want you to read it with me. Ready? Read. But we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Now notice this phrase, the spirit of faith. Now the spirit of faith would be the opposite of the spirit of fear. You see, the Holy Spirit in you, when He came into your life at the new birth, He didn't bring a spirit of fear.
Amen. That's right.
The Holy Spirit on the inside of you brought into your life the spirit of faith.
Amen.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize, and I'm not putting people down, but you need to understand this, that you are not without faith. God has given you faith. In Romans 12, verse 3, it says, we have a measure of faith.
Amen.
Amen. Say this with me like this. I have a measure.
I have a measure.
I have the measure.
I have the measure.
Of mountain moving faith. And so because we have faith, we can either let it lie dormant or we can pay attention to it and develop it and cultivate it. Amen. You know, years ago, Brenda and I went to Rhema Bible Training Center in 1976, fell in love, praise the Lord, got married in 1977, July 22nd. Amen? Wonderful. But back in those days, you know, they didn't have a lot of teachers like they do at Rhema, so they brought in 10 speakers from the outside. Some of the speakers was Kenneth Copeland. Kind of nice to have Kenneth Copeland for a week of classes, huh? And then another speaker they had in was Norval Hayes. I don't know if you remember Norval. But then there was this preacher from Los Angeles, California, by the name of Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. Do any of you remember Apostle Price? And Fred Price could make the subject of faith clearer than anyone I've ever heard. I mean, just so precise and so accurate and so clear on the fundamentals of faith. And so I want to exhort some of you to go to Amazon and Google Fred Price and put the name of this book, How Faith Works. It is the best book that I have ever read on the subject of faith. I read it, Jimmy, when I was just a Christian, maybe a few months old. I can remember down in my parents' basement there in Minneapolis, and I was reading this book, How Faith Works, and all of a sudden, the lights came on. And I had an understanding, and I could get a grasp on this God kind of faith that God has imparted into my spirit.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you to do that.
Yeah.
But one of the speakers we had was Brother Copeland, Norval Hayes, Fred Price, and some others. But then there was another gentleman, and he actually preached in this church, Pastor Tom. I don't know if any of you remembered Roy Hicks.
Yeah.
He was something else. He was a four-square Pentecostal preacher, and he was very close with the Hagans. He wrote a book called He That Laughs, Laughs. He That Laughs, Laughs and Laughs and Laughs. I mean, you know the truth in that. Amen? If you want to laugh, you better learn to laugh. Amen? Now, one of the phrases that he used over in that session over there at Rhema was, faith... use it or lose it. Faith, use it or lose it. Now, you never really lose faith because faith is on the inside of you, but you can lose the value of faith and what faith can do in you and for you and through you if you don't pay attention to it. And so what Dr. Hicks was saying, use your faith. Learn about it. Read about it. Develop it. Use it. Amen.
Amen.
so that it doesn't lie dormant in your heart. Faith is like a muscle, is it not?
Yes.
Now, how many of you know you can go to a gym and you can do something about your muscles?
Amen.
Or you can stay home and do nothing about your muscles. And I'm not preaching on that today, but I use that as an illustration. You see, faith is like a muscle. If you will exercise it, if you will use it, if you will release it, your faith will grow. And what you will discover is this. You can grow in faith. This is not in my notes. The Bible says there is something known as exceedingly growing faith.
Amen.
To where you started out believing for a dollar. You started out sowing a dollar as a seed. And God came through for you.
Amen.
And then you started sowing $10. And God came through for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you believed for some bread in your home. And bread came. But now, years and years and decades later, you're able to sow more. You not only have bread in your pantry, but you can sow bread to others so that other people's pantries can be full.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your faith will grow, but you've got to use it. You've got to release it. You've got to cultivate it. And Paul is saying, we having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore I did something about what I believed.
Amen.
I spoke.
Amen.
Then he includes us. We also believe.
Amen.
Raise a hand and say, I also believe.
I also believe.
And therefore
I speak.
And I release my faith with the words of my mouth. I am a speaker. Amen. Glory to God. Now, this series, if you'll stick with it, I believe it'll change all of our lives. I know I need to hear this. And if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Amen. Because quite frankly, none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived in the full revelation of what Christ has done for us and put in us. But oh, thank God, we're after it, aren't we?
Amen.
How many of you will be after it with me?
Amen.
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 You know, the Bible talks about fighting the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
Somebody says, what's that? Well, you'll find out. I live in a constant state just about of between the amen and the here it is. And the in between, there's a fight. There's a fight for my focus. There's a fight for my attention. Fight the good fight of faith. How many of you will fight the good fight of faith with Pastor Tom and I? How many of you will fight the good fight of faith with Pastor Brenda, Pastor Kimberly, and Pastor Nancy, and Caleb? Amen. How many of you will fight? And this just came up in my spirit real strong the other day. I'm looking for some fighters. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm looking for people that will join their faith with our faith as a staff and stand in the gap and fight the good of faith. Fight for souls. Fight for healings. Fight for miracles. Fight for finances. Hey, have we got any fighters in the house? I said, have we got any fighters in the house? Glory to God. Who'll join us? Who'll join us in the fray and fight the good fight of faith with us? Woo, that's a whole bunch of them, Pastor Tom. That makes me want to shout. That makes me want to dance. Hey, the government of this church is not upon my shoulders. It's upon him. But corporately, as we put our faith together, the spirit of faith grows and exceeds anything that would try to hold us down or hold us back. Amen. Everyone say it with me, I'm fighting. The good fight. The good fight. Of faith. Someone said many years ago, well, what's the good fight? A good fight is a fight you win.
Yeah.
A bad fight is a fight you lose. But we are not losers. We are winners.
Amen.
Glory to God. Come on, get this today.
Yeah.
Say it to me, I'm not a loser.
I'm a loser.
Ooh, I'm a winner. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want you to notice this, again, in verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith. Think about that.
Yeah.
Did you know that you have the same spirit of faith that Abraham had?
Yeah.
Abraham is known as a patriarch of faith. If you look in the scriptures, you will notice that Abraham is considered to be the father of faith. Abraham had a promise, and he held fast to the promise, and he wouldn't let the promise go. And there were things that were trying to pull his head out of the promise, but he didn't consider his own body. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. But Abraham was a fighter. He fought the good fight of faith. And he stayed in faith.
Yes.
Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Isaac was finally born.
Right.
Some of you got some Isaac. How many of you got some Isaacs out there that you're believing for? Amen? So it's saying this. We having the same spirit of faith. You got the same spirit of faith that Abraham had.
Amen.
Not only that, but you have the same spirit that Daniel had.
Amen.
When he slept through the night in the lion's den. Oh, glory to God. That same spirit. And not only that, but the same spirit that David faced Goliath with is in you. What does that mean, Raul? What that means to each and every one of us, we can face the giants that stand in our way. Why? Because it's the same covenant. It's the same faith, and it's the same God. Same faith, same covenant, same God. Aren't you glad that he's the same? And aren't you glad that he is no respecter of persons? What he's done for one, he'll do for all if we will get in there and fight the good fight of faith and not allow this spirit of faith to lie dormant, but believe the word and speak the word. We will have what God said we can have.
Amen.
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 Whew, glory to God. I preached on this on Wednesday nights about 20 years ago, it seems like, part of it. But a phrase that keeps coming to me is this. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory.
Amen.
Say that with me. The spirit of faith that is in me, it is the spirit of victory. One more time. The spirit of faith that is in me, it is the spirit of victory. It's the spirit of victory. 1 John chapter 5. Notice with me in verse 4 and 5. I want you to read this with me. For whatsoever is born of God. We could say it this way. Whosoever is what? What does born of God mean? Simply born again. How many of you are born again? How many of you are a child of God? Well, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. Whatsoever or whosoever is born of God.
Amen.
Notice the rest of the verse says, overcometh The what? The world. Think about the world, the flesh, the devil, all that's in it, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Aren't you glad he overcame it for you?
Amen.
Now read the rest with me. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our good works.
No.
Is that what it says?
No. I
thought that your good works will position you to be an overcomer. It's not your good works, it's his good works.
Yeah.
It's the work that he's accomplished.
Right.
Everyone say, oh, it is finished.
It is finished.
Well, are you saying, Pastor Mark, we ought not to be doing good works? To the contrary, we all should be doing good works.
Amen.
But our good works don't enable us to overcome the world.
Right.
Notice this last phrase again. This is important that we get it. And this is the what?
Victory.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our good looks. Huh?
No.
Even our faith.
That's right.
So we can overcome if we will learn to use our faith. Say it with me, the spirit of faith,
is
the spirit of victory. Now, I want to read this from the Message translation. You know, what I love about series is I can preach this next week.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's hope. You'll be out before 4 o'clock today. Look at the Message translation in verse 4 and 5. It says, every God-born person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees. It is our faith. Hallelujah. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you have things that you like to say repeatedly in your life that kind of remind you of the victory? What are some of the things you say? Brenda just mentioned, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. How about you? Is there a certain phrase that you walk around during the day and you say continually? Go ahead, raise your hand.
I'm blessed.
Pastor Nancy says, I'm blessed and I could be no less. How about you, Bertha? What do you say?
I bless the Lord at all times.
I what?
I bless the Lord at all times.
Bertha says, I bless the Lord at all times. Amen. Anybody else have a phrase? Brian.
The greater one is inside of me.
The greater one is inside of me. Chica.
I am blessed and highly favored.
Woo, I am. Come on, somebody. Did you hear that? Chica said, I am blessed and highly favored. Woo, let's say it together. I am blessed and highly favored. Who else? Kathy? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
You know, if you'll just remind yourself of that on a continual basis, you'll start to believe it.
Amen.
And when the devil comes along and tells you, no way, oh, yes way, Yahweh. I can do all things through Christ, through Yahweh who strengthens me. Woo, hallelujah. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Amen.
Amen.
Who else has got something they say regularly? Back there in the sound. Yeah, the Lord is. Man, this must be a word church. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for wisdom. I shall not want for joy. Woo, glory. Brother, back there, yeah.
Too blessed to be stressed.
All right, that's good. Amen. I am too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Back there. You live by faith and not by sight. Dear sister. You are strengthened with power by the Spirit of God in the inner man. Isn't that good to say? Everyone, let's pray that right now. Put your hand over your heart and say, I'm being strengthened with power by the precious Holy Spirit in the inner man. The eyes of my understanding, they are being enlightened. Whoo, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. It's happening right now, Mark. You're being strengthened. I'm being strengthened. Amen. That means we're too legit to quit. Hey. That's right. Why? Because our heads are up.
Amen.
Because we're getting up.
Amen.
We either up or we're on our way up. Who else? One or two more. Amen. Yes, sister.
Delight yourself in the Lord and He will
give you the desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. Wouldn't that be good just to walk around all day and say that, or a couple times? I delight myself in the Lord today. Glory to God. Kimberly.
The Lord is good and His mercy endures.
Yes, for the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Woo! Glory to God.
My heart is my hope of glory.
What is this now?
You want me to say in Spanish?
No. English.
Jesus in my heart is my hope of glory.
Whoa, yeah, I love it. Jesus in my heart is my hope of glory. Amen, amen. Brother Keith and I did 3 sessions. Pastor Tom was in. I think we did okay, didn't we,
it
PT?
Was awesome.
He said it was awesome. But Brother Keith and I did this, praise the Lord, and he's got a little book called The Courage to Carry Christ in You. Say that with me. I have the courage,
to carry
Christ
in me.
Did not Mary, the virgin, have the courage to carry the Christ in her?
Yes.
Well, Christ is in you. And we must have the courage to carry Him to a lost and dying world. We must have the courage to carry Him through the tests of life. The courage to carry Him through the fire. Now, one of the things, and I know we could go all day, it's getting almost time to close, but one of the things that I like to say, I like to say this, the devil is a loser, and I'm a winner. Let's try that on for size. Let's see how that fits. Say it with me, the devil is a loser, and I'm a winner. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, he's a loser. Uh-huh. He's an abuser. He's an accuser. But he's also the biggest loser.
Amen.
I mean, let's just think about it just for a moment. You think about, he tried to have an uprising in heaven, and what happened? He lost. He lost. He tried to literally wipe out the people of God in Noah's time. And what happened? I need a little better participation. He tried to wipe out the people of God in the wilderness. And what happened? For 40 days and 40 nights, he tempted the master. But Jesus didn't yield to the temptation. He pulled out the sword of the Spirit. And he said, it is written. It is written. And it is also written. So he tried to tempt the master with suicide. Just fall down. Worship me. Cast yourself down. He tried. But what happened to the enemy? He lost. Glory to God. Say with me, he lost. He lost big time. And after that temptation, the Bible says of Jesus, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And he stood up for to read on that synagogue on that Sabbath. And he said, I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Say it with me. The devil is a loser. And I'm a winner. He thought that he had Jesus in the grave and in hell for good. But what happened? And he thought that he had you in the throes of sin for good. But he lost. He lost. He lost. And you are a winner. In fact, you're more than a winner. I said, you're more than a winner. Romans 8:37. Let's read a couple more scriptures. You getting anything yet today? Say with me, I have the spirit of faith. Romans 8:37. Ready, read. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. We gain a surpassing victory through Him. In the midst of all these things, all hell breaking loose, you're still more than a conqueror.
Yeah,
now look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm looking at a congregation full of more than conquerors.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Ready, read. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh the manifest of His savor of His knowledge in every place. Woo, glory to God. Everyone say always.
Always.
I always triumph through the victory that Christ has won for me. And the last scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:57. Glory to God. Did you wear your shouting clothes? Let's read it together. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it has been given. Do you receive it today? You're more than a conqueror. Do you receive it today? The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. Do you receive it today? Come on, everyone, stand up and let's shout and thank God that we've been given the spirit of faith. You know, if the Apostle Paul was asked, hey, what is it? What is it? What do you have that keeps you from quitting? That keeps you from collapsing? I believe Paul would say, I have the spirit of faith. Glory to God.